Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is Technoid Podcast Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sitting next to me, Tim, is it Handorf?
That's correct.
Good enough. Yes. You are the co-founder and CEO of G2 Crowd, which has been in the news quite a bit lately, quite a bit for a long time. And we've had, I can't remember the name of the fellow we had in here who was talking about G2 just the other day. But anyway.
Adam Beeson.
Yeah, Adam, that's right. Adam,
talking about World Water Day, I think.
Yes, it was World Water Day. You've got a good memory, better memory than I have. So anyway, I feel like we, and there was another person I'm also forgetting, not from G2 Crowd, who was in here talking about reviews. And it was sort of this thing, that epiphany that I had of like, this peer review sort of thing that has kind of come across almost, you know, first it was consumer, it was Yelps and things like that, Angie's List. And now we're into this like business review world. And it's incredibly fascinating how it's growing and the impact that it's having on really everything. And so I figured I'd have you kind of walk us through what G2 Crowd does, how it works, why it's important. And then there is, of course, the $30 million elephant in the room that you guys just raised, which is also very cool. Congrats. So just kind of fill us in here. What is G2 Crowd?
Yeah, so G2 Crowd is a B2B peer review site. So real users of B2B products and services. So things like CRM systems, marketing automation systems, they write reviews, share their experience. And it's not like a normal review that you would find on Yelp or something like that. We have 36 data points that they answer. Everything from like, what do you like? What business problems is it solving for you?
And so it's useful is what you're saying.
Very, yeah, it's
not
very,
just somebody's
very
opinion. I don't like the salt in your, on your cheese. Like what the hell doesn't help me out at all?
So they write the reviews, and then people that are looking for business software, they come to our site and they read the reviews, get the context of them, helps them make a better decision. You can compare softwares that you're considering side by side, or you can discover softwares that for particular problems that you're trying to solve in your business.
So what was your background? Like, how did you, I mean, as a co-founder, I assume you guys kind of sat in a room and was like, wow, this is a problem that we seem to have, or like, what was the impetus of you figuring out that you wanted to do this?
Yeah, so the five co-founders worked together at a previous B2B software company, and we just saw the need for our own personal, like, way we were selling. And there's a couple things that I think, drove us. One of the things in our own consumer lives, as you mentioned, we found that, we were making decisions based on peer-to-peer reviews, there wasn't anything out there for the B2B products. And we couldn't figure out why you could get better information on a $100 hotel room than you could on a $100,000 piece of software, for example. So that was one thing. But then just us selling this, our own software ourselves, we noticed that when we connected our prospects with our customers, in general, good things would happen. And at first, we were a little scared because we thought, hey, they'd air some of their dirty laundry.
Yeah.
And they did. And turns
that's the thing.
Turns out that's better.
Yeah. I was just going to say.
It builds trust.
That's the thing that has fascinated me most about this show is that I have people like you sit down and they're like, obviously they want to talk about the good parts of their business, but then I'm always like kind of reticent to be like, all right, so I'm going to ask you, like, this is one of those things that just sort of seems weird to me. And then they're happy to tell you like, no, it was a serious problem, serious struggle. We're still working through it. And then they go right into it like, I didn't think you would say that. And now like in the review thing, that was always the problem in my mind that has always been kind of a, why I didn't like them on the business side of things is that the reviews were always really biased. They're always like, it was written by a person who was paid to test it or is written by somebody who works at the business. Like, no offense. We love Salesforce. They're a budding sponsor. So I'm not going to rip. But as a user of Salesforce, holy cow, is it frustrating? And I jumped into it having looked at reviews of other things and thought like, well, it's got to be good. And then you find out that it's like Pardot reviewed Salesforce. Well, they're owned by Salesforce. It's of no value. So what you're talking about, breaking it into 36 touch points where I can actually find out like what this does, why, how, weak points, strong points, et cetera. You're right. It was nothing like that in the scope.
And you touched on a very important thing, right, which is the trust of the reviews themselves.
Yeah.
So one of the things we do is we validate the reviews via LinkedIn. So to write a review, you have to log in via LinkedIn. So we know the company that you work for. We know that you can't write a review of your competitor or yourself. And then we also manually validate them as well, which is very important because otherwise companies would write fake reviews all the time. It happens. And that's one of the things I think that allowed us to start this business was LinkedIn success.
I was just going to say, I feel like for you guys, like one of the no-brainers as to why this was something that is a success and people took it up quickly was the fact that there was so much of like homeboy review is what I used to call it always. Like, it's just like, oh, this is somebody from this office who's like, oh yeah, I don't work here. Yeah, this is the best software ever.
We actually tell people if they get like 10 5-star reviews, we tell them you got to get some reviews that are not 5 stars because nobody's going to believe it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely. So on that same sort of note, what are, you know, if I'm looking for, you know, let's say I were to go back and re-entertain the Salesforce decision, what are things that I should be looking for? When I look for reviews of companies and services, products, what is it that I should be looking for? What are the things in your 36-point review that are particularly useful, you think, or your users
think?
Well,
I think you should definitely start with the problems that you have.
Yeah.
And so look at that, and then you can look at the 36 points. So, you know, if one of your biggest problems is the reporting, you want to look at, you know, what softwares have the best reporting. In addition,
and can you look that up then? So if I'm on G2, like I can look up, like, can I be that specific? I want to learn about things. Like, the challenge for me would be I have to sift through however many reviews to figure something out and find that, like, that's why I like the 36 point thing, is you can actually pull out specific things. The average review is just like, so-and-so said that this is great, or this is great, or this is not great. It could be 5-6 reviews that I've read through before I find someone who has the same problems as me. If I go to your site, can I actually go and be like, I have a problem with, I want to know about the reporting on this, like, very specific.
You can. So what you can do is you can compare again. So the incumbent in this case is Salesforce. You can go and like throw 5-6 others side by side and look and see who ranks better on reporting.
That's awesome. Wow. I wish I had known more about this before I entered a very long-term deal. No, I still like Salesforce. I'm just being mean. But on that same note then, so what I have to ask, like, just curiously, between the five of you, how long did it take you to come up with this, like, standard application? Like, the standard review, I feel like, is always a work in progress, but where did it start? Like, how did you know which ones were, like, the most common weak point?
Yeah, so based on our experience, right? And so, like, maybe a little bit of a funny story. So when we started the company, we actually didn't even know what we were going to build. We just sat
most
in a room.
Most great companies start that way.
Talked about life in general, talked about the culture of the company we wanted to build, and then talked about some of the problems we saw in the world. And then we started narrowing them down. We picked this idea because we thought we could build it in a couple weeks, real quick, right? No problem.
That's incredible.
We decided, we're going to, you know, it was like mid-July, and we said, oh, well, let's put a line in the sand. We'll go to a Cubs game. We're going to build this thing.
Is this a real story?
This is a real story. We put a line in the sand. We're going to build it in it was like 4 weeks, and we're going to go to the Cubs game. What ended up happening is, so, like, we had two developers, two of our founders are developers, myself and the two other founders, not as technical, we weren't involved. And so we were, like, putting the questions together, you said, and then putting the products on the sites, loading the categories, et cetera. What ended up happening is about a week before the game, we're like, we are not going to get this done. And we were, like, working 100, 120-hour weeks, sleeping in the office for this false deadline.
Yeah.
The limo pulls up for the Cubs game, and we are depressed, right? We've been working all night. Fortunately, you know, a couple beers later,
we still went to the game.
We went to the game. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. But we did get it done in a couple weeks after that. So all in, like, our MVP, we got done in about 6 weeks.
That's incredible. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a couple guys that, this is a while back now, but they used to be in the innovation squad at PayPal. And they would talk about bouncing around. PayPal doesn't actually make anything. They just buy other people who have made cool things and they plug it in. And he was like, they basically had come to this determination that if it couldn't be created in basically 8 to 12 weeks or less, unless it was incredibly complex and, you know, there was multiple layers to it, if it couldn't be done in that amount of time, they would usually just scrap it, take notes, and go back to it later and see if they can maybe think about it or rethink on it. And it kind of reminded me, I've always used that in my head when we talk to startup companies, whether it's for the stage at Technori or if it's for our own companies that we invest in or for whatever we're building. If I can't get this idea from out of my head and onto paper in, you know, like you said, 6, 8 to 12 weeks, I feel like either it's way too complicated and I don't have the right team for it, or I'm not working hard enough. There's something in the middle there, because I feel like you should be able to get that MVP off the ground to start getting feedback, like, as quick as possible.
Yeah, we agree. We have this philosophy called Do It Live, which stemmed from a video, a Bill O'Reilly video.
I'm not going to ask.
Yeah, that is it. And every time we'd push code, we'd play that video for a while, because we just run a code-driven or test-driven development cycle, and we just constantly be testing things. We just try it. We wouldn't argue about who was right or what was.
These
we'd
are
just,
the stories that come out of companies that, like, you would never. If I went out and said, I'm going to take a poll, I'm going to have G2 Crowd on the show today, what are the questions you have? And they would, I guarantee you, none of them would be like, we launched this company in 6 weeks because it was one of the problems that we had talked about before we went to this Cubs game. We were going to have a couple of beers and everything worked out just fine. $30 million later, we, you know, like, it's just, it's an incredible, incredible story. I love it. Speaking of the 30 mil, not, you know, this is a very difficult problem for a lot of companies. And I have, again, I guess, you know, when you sit down with 300 plus founders, you start to form your own kind of opinions of like what that baseline is. And you guys, it obviously, according to you, is a little different scenario. They came calling you. But usually I've noticed that the ones that really, really struggle to get capital maybe are the ones that shouldn't be getting that capital because they either they can't tell the story or they don't know the story or whatever the deal. And when you stumble upon, and Mike Rothman from SMS Assist is another one who reminds me of you sitting in this chair who said, yeah, no, they came calling us. They saw a great opportunity and it just fell into place. It just blows me away because those stories are rare, but they're usually very fascinating. There's always something goofy. Like, how did they reach out to you? Like how did that even come? Like, what happened? I want to know.
Yeah. So the story goes is like, so Accel, like, so we rate softwares, we put them on a grid. And what was happening is in all their pitch decks and all their portfolio companies, they were showing our grid. So they were seeing us time and time again. And then ultimately what happened is like, who is this company? We got to find them, check them out. And they're like a company out of Chicago. They called us up and I said, no, we weren't interested. We're cash flow positive. We're doing great. We don't need the money. I said no several other times. And finally,
I assume every time you said no, the money kept coming higher.
Yeah. Exactly what happened. And so finally, I went to the board and I said, I think Accel's really serious. They want to invest. And they were like, Accel? Like the Facebook, Slack guys? And I said, yeah, that's them. And they said, and you're not interested? And they said, you should be interested. And so we decided to do it, right, and build our brand and go a little faster.
It doesn't sound like we decided to do it. It sounds like it just we're going to do it.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. So, and that's, you know what? It's actually really cool. I mean, it's a great example of when your company works so well that the people that normally are in the business of seeking out opportunity don't go and find you the route of seeking out investment opportunity, but rather just because I keep seeing this G2 crowd pop up everywhere, which is quite honestly is how you showed up on my map. I mean, I was searching for all kinds of different stuff and I just recently started seeing G2 all over the place. Like I had heard of G2 crowd and then I can't remember, somebody mentioned it again to me. I was like, oh, you should have him on the show. This might've been almost a year ago. And then over, I don't know, maybe November through the last like 2 months, I swear to God, every week I see G2 crowd pop up at least one or two more times. Each week it's an additional couple of times. I'm like, all right, enough. Let's get this guy in the show. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, all the other startups that you bring in here, right, they should have a G2
crowd rating.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
they're all using us.
Yeah. We actually need to set that up. That actually is a very interesting idea because I think that one of the biggest problems that we find with the startups, honestly, and this is one of the main reasons Technori Showcase was founded, was to give them give startups a place to gain traction because there's an automatic assumption of like, is this going to work? Is this like a beta or I don't know? And so you can't get clients. You can't get real feedback.
Well, that was one of the issues we were trying to solve because when we first started our other company, until you got to $20 million, the existing analysts like the Foresters, the Gardeners of the World, they don't even want to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, you don't count.
And there's great startups that are not making $20 million yet that have a product for companies that they should be listening to. And a lot of companies will go to that Gartner report. And if you're not on the list, they won't listen.
Are you signing up startup companies? Like, is that something we could assist in?
Absolutely.
We can help
startup companies. You know, their customers tell their story, right? We've got a third-party validation that's a trusted brand.
I want to follow up with you on that one because I think that's something where we're doing – probably 60 startup companies a quarter are coming on the show or somewhere thereabout. And on stage 5-10 a month, they're popping in there. All it would be is handing them out a card and say, you know, sign up for this if you haven't already.
That's awesome. Love to do that.
Sweet. This has been a great conversation. Really, honestly, very fascinating. I did not expect it. These stories are amazing. I think you should probably put them into like a small book would be a great starting point. When you sell the company for $1 billion or more, then you can put it into a big book. But for now, we'll leave it like
just a little book.
It's still very thick. It's just going to be like a shorter one. You know, like one of those kids ones you just keep open. Just tons of pages, just shorter. I'm just messing with you. But regardless, Tim, this has been fantastic. Where do people go? All those startup companies we're talking about, where do they go to learn more about G2 and get involved with you guys?
Yeah, g2crowd.com. Very simple.
That's
if you're looking
simple.
For software, check it out. See what your peers are saying.
absolutely fascinating. Very cool. Thank you. We will definitely have to have you back and keep us up to date on like all of the insane growth you guys are going to have with that $30 million. I can only imagine.
Thank you.
Of course. You can watch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.